All righty. I'm going to talk to you for the next 20 minutes or so about 10 things I know about you. Have you ever been to church and you say to yourself, how did he know? Well, yesterday afternoon, the Lord told me 10 things about you that I want to tell you. No, don't leave. And so what I want you to do is take out, this is what you've been given on the way in. I want you to take out, because I want you to write each 10 points down. And so we're going to need to move, and move fairly quickly, so I need you to write, get a pencil. If you don't have a pencil or pen, or you didn't get one of these on the way, just raise your hand, and the guest service folks would love to bring you either a pen or hand you one of these on the way. So get ready. Are you ready? All right, what do I know about you? Nothing. All I know about you is what the Lord tells me, all right? Here you go. We started in on this series that we're calling Stuck. And what it's all about is it's all about a process we all go through. And this process is a process where, let me just break it down for you. If this is eternity right here, this line is eternity. There is no time in eternity. This is where God is. There's no time. There's no beginning or no end. God is, and he always will be. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. When you get to heaven, your clocks go off. All right? They won't work because it's eternity. There's no time. Now, as God is in eternity, now he dropped down into a time-space world. It's where we are, a time-space world, and we're living in this world. Now, as we're living in this time-space world, God is working his purposes out. He's working what he wants to have happen. Now, this circle represents where you were. How many of you are glad you're not where you were? Isn't that a wonderful thing? Yes. But how many of you know you're not where you're going to be? Yes. How many of you believe God's got more for you? And you're not there yet. And so the process is getting. But you are in this strange little place here. It's this cat eye, this mandorla, between where you've been and where. It's kind of like being newly married, you know? You got some of your singleness you got to work through, and then you're married, and you're both at one time, kind of. And so it takes a little while to work through all that stuff. So where you are is where you are. And there's 10 things about this, because if you're going to journey through God's purpose and stay faithful to it, this, what I'm telling you this morning, has to be locked down somewhere inside of you, because you're going to have to know these 10 things that I know about you. Number one, God knew you before you were ever conceived. God knew you before you were ever conceived. If you look at Jeremiah with me, chapter 1, before I formed you, in the womb, I knew you. Now, as soon as you finish writing, I want you to look up here, because I want you to look at that phrase with me. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. How did he know you? The word know, by the way, there in the Hebrew, is the same word that when it says, and Adam knew Eve, and she conceived and had a baby. It's an intimacy. It's not a head knowledge. It's a knowing, a truly intimate knowing of somebody. God knew you before you were ever conceived. And for that to make sense to you, let's go back to this drawing. And in eternity, before you were ever hit time space, God knew you and thought about you. God knew you. He saw you. He saw the day you took your first breath. He watched you walk through your entire life. He knew you before you were ever conceived, every decision you'd make. He knew everything about you. He watched your whole life play out, everything about it. And he knew you. When you come to Christ and you open your heart and you receive him as Lord and Savior, now you're stepping back into a relationship he knew about before you were ever conceived. And it's like he says, in a fresh new way, welcome back. Because I saw the day you would do that, and my heart longed for that day. Because I knew you. I knew how long you would wander. I knew how long it would take. And I knew you. Before, let's get this straight. God knew you. Therefore, friends, number two, therefore, now it came time to form you in your mother's womb. God had his hands on you. He formed you. He made you. He created that personality you got. Isaiah said, this saith the Lord your Redeemer, who formed you, would you read that with me? Who formed you where? In the womb. Who formed you? Who was it that decided to create? Well, Mike, it's just DNA. No, no, no. God borrowed your parents' DNA because he wanted to make you like you are. He knew you. He formed you. He deliberately chose color of eyes, your hair, your personality. He chose your features you have. I know some of you are going to have a chat with him when you get to heaven. I know that. You know, I know you're certain thing. You got your nose is too big. I'm just telling you, the God of the universe had his hands on you. Live with you every step of your life before you were ever conceived, and then he took the next step to actually form you. Your uniqueness comes from your creator, the same one that created the universe and the galaxies. He created another incredible, incredible, complicated thing called a human being. And he put himself, it came from himself, the image bearers. Made no mistake. Not a single mistake he made. Oh, no, no, no. This creator, when you look up at the galaxies and you see the stars and you think there's not a mistake he made. And friend, he's not made one mistake when he created and he made you. It is such an awesome thing. Have you ever watched these shows on the complication, I mean the complexity of the human being? Their brains, their all the systems in them that God, I mean, only God. It's easier for us to focus on how awesome and wonderful and he is, God is. But did you know he created you? And when you look in a little baby's eyes and you realize what God has done, some of you need to re-embrace a sense of value that God's put on you, because you've heard a lot in your head and you've seen a lot that you don't matter. God said, I wanted you here, and I created the you that you are, and I don't make mistakes. How great thou art. Yes. But he created you as well. Let's tie those two together. Can we do that? Can we tie together how awesome and how great God is? And then just look around and go, we're in his image. God created us. What kind of value does that put on us that Father has for us? Let me connect some dots with you. Just remain standing just for a moment. I want to connect the dot with you of how incredible great God is. But He created you. He formed you. You're the centerpiece of this creation where He could have a relationship with you. He watched without the damage that would later come. He watched what He created, and it so filled Father God's heart to watch His daughter, so full of life, so full of faith, so believing. It was a simpler time, yeah. But it was, He watched you. He watched you, son. He watched you play out your life. He watched the creativity happen. He watched your boyish manners. And He just sat back as Father God is going, wow. I love that boy. I love my daughter. Before you were ever in your mom and dad's mind, some of you need to go back and touch something of owning your value in the heart and the mind of God Almighty. You can be seated for the next few moments, so we'll move through this. Number three. Therefore, what I know about you is you're no accident. Isaiah said, I'm your creator. And you were in my care even before you were born. Here it goes again. I am your creator. I created you. And God didn't make any mistakes, and there was no accidents. Your birth was not a mistake. It was not an accident. I know some of you will say, oh my goodness, I remember when I found out that we were expecting. And you say it was no accident. No, it was no accident. See, God already lived that out. He knew it would happen. He already watched it play out. And He just borrowed the DNA to make it happen. Why? Because He wanted you. Your parents may have not planned you, but God planned you. Your parents, it may have been a surprise to Him, but I got news for you. It was no surprise to God, because God wanted you here long before you were conceived by your parents, long before you were conceived in the heart and the mind of God Almighty. The rest of it is just how He got you here. Well, Mike, you don't understand. I'm illegitimate. No. Parents may be illegitimate. But there are no children. Well, Mike, yeah. Oh, yeah. God, this is God incredible when He can look down, well, have eternity, and look down in a time-space world and know what's going to happen and know when you're going to fall, know what sin is going to happen, and watch it all play out, and His purposes in all that thing. He still works through. He still brings life when He wants life. And friends, that is not an accident. That's a God-appointed destiny for you. No accident. He just borrowed your parents' DNA. That's all He did. Well, Mike, I never even knew my father. Well, you sure can. Because I can tell you who your real dad is. I can tell you who your real dad. I can tell you who your real dad is. I mean the highest form of who He is. The one and only source of life itself is God Almighty. That's who your papa needs to be. If you don't know Him, you need to. DNA, God's purpose, took all the error into account, all the stuff, and still worked out His plan All right, let's go to the next one. Number four. Is your time here on earth is perfectly planned. Your time here on earth is perfectly planned. And by perfect, I don't mean you have necessarily a perfect life. I mean, in God's plans, he had the time, the place, he had it all worked out. Look at Galatians chapter 1. But when he had, this is Paul the Apostle, when he had set me apart before I was born, he called me to be a part of his grace. The Apostle Paul writes, my time on earth was planned by you. Now watch this. The generation I was born was planned by you. The time I was born is planned by you. This is your time, my friends. This is your destiny on planet earth. This is your time. And it's no accident. God knew you before. Keep it in mind. He knew you before. He formed you. And now he sent you the right time to arrive. He sent the right people in your life. How many of you are glad your wife was born same generation you were? No? Wait. No, I'd rather have, I wouldn't wait to the next one. I don't know. No. Don't go away. Come on. How many of you are glad your spouse is born in the same generation you are? Yes, you missed a great opportunity there, I'm telling you. Perfect timing. Why? Well, again, you got DNA. You got people that's already in his mind that he needs to create. I mean, he's got it all worked out. The time and place for these people, that's your children. All of that, friend, is working. Paul, the apostle, we read about Paul and Silas. Destiny. You read Paul and Barnabas. Oh, yeah. Yeah, destiny. It's even your friends. The next most important thing to who you marry is who you hang around with. Because I'm telling you, your friends will either take you up or they'll bring you down. I mean, you hang around with people with always complaining, no faith, and they're just, you know, next thing you know, the water level eases off and you'll be at the same level everybody you hang around with. It just happens. So you got to hang around with folks who's going to help this purpose thing happen in you and help you keep on moving down this line of God's purposes. And so God has those people in this generation, and he has just the right people. It's perfectly planned out. And so that's the reason we do small groups. We encourage everybody to be a part. You don't want to do life alone. God never made you do life alone. And so small groups around here, matter of fact, we're kicking them off today. We start next week. But everybody needs to build relationships and be in a group. You don't need to wait until it's too late. You don't need to wait until you need somebody and not have anybody. Anyway, let's move. Number five. Every day of your life, what I know about you is every day of your life has already been recorded. You know that? Every day of your life. Look what it says in Psalm 139:1. Your eyes saw my unformed body, and all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Every single one. Now, Mike, if every day was, God saw every day from eternity and looked down into time and he saw it happen, did he plan for the bad things to happen to me? And the answer is no. But we live in a fallen world where sin came. And now you have human beings that are less than perfect, to say the least. And then oftentimes the enemy will hijack God's plan, so to speak, and work through human beings, and some pretty tough stuff can happen. But here's the marvelous thing. God, who can work all things together for the good, can he take whatever it is that comes our way? Is he big enough to work it around so that it is for our good and would serve the purpose that he has for us in life? Yes or no? Yes. It absolutely is. And that's a promise we have. God will work it for our good. He will work it because every day he's already watched lived out. Number six, your boundaries have been established by God. Your boundaries have been established by God. Now, by boundaries, I'm talking about if you could picture your life and there's certain a circle or in your life or certain dimensions it would have, how many people you're going to meet, where you're going to go, the boundaries of your life God has established. He's already worked through that. He's already watched it happen. He's planned for it. Look what Acts chapter 17 says. From one man, which is Adam, all the nations came that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. And our land, so to speak, our life has those kind of boundaries. Where we live. Why are you in Charleston, South Carolina? Well, I just decided to. No, God orchestrated all that from a higher altitude when he was in eternity, and he saw where you needed to be. And he worked it out. He planned for his purpose. He planned this to happen. That you would be on Sunday morning, 11 o'clock, right here, sitting here, listening to this word is no accident. It's in the heart and the mind of God. And you're right on time. Amen. Well, most of you. You're right on time. God planned it for his purpose. He knows the boundaries. He knows exactly what your life looks like and needs to look like. And the secret to life is having that path and following that path and what he has planned, what he's already seen, that way is there for every single person. You are not just wandering through life unless the enemy has lied to you and you bought it. The life on purpose. Number 7, God has a purpose for you. Everybody say that with me, would you? God has a purpose for you. Lord, Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. Lord, you gave perfect peace to those who keep their purpose firm. And they trust in you and they trust in the Lord forever. He will always protect us. Keep their purpose firm. Bible in the Old Testament said, Jeremiah, I'm going to set you aside for this purpose. Now, everybody watch me. In the New Testament, Paul said, I have been set aside for this purpose. Every single one of you have a big P on you, and it says there's purpose for your life that is destined in the heart and the mind of God. He's already watched it happen. Well, Mike, I don't know what my purpose is. Well, part of what life is following God and discovering exactly what that is, friends. But the enemy would lie to you and would like to tell you that your life doesn't matter and there's no real purpose for your life. And I'm here to tell you that is a lie. Your daddy created you here. He assigned you here. He gave you gifts and calling. He has a perfect purpose for your life. Your life, friends, is not cheap. It's bought with a price. I mean, he bought you, and he bought him to himself so that you would accomplish the purpose God has given you. It's not about working and going to sleep and just waking up and doing the same thing day after day. I mean, you might do some of that stuff in a certain way to make a living and God, but in that, God's called you to something. I mean, there is a purpose to where you are. There's a purpose to life. You are not just drifting. There's this sense where God takes you. Your life is a lot more mysterious and thrilling than many people ever discover. There's a quest in life. There is a fulfilling as you follow God. There's a dreaming. There is a what do you have next for me, God? I mean, it's like trying to follow a good dad. Well, what do you got next for me? Where do you want me to go? How do you want me to interact with people? What have you got? I think it's the quality of life in part that Jesus was talking about when he said, I want you to live an abundant life. I want it to be full. I don't want it to be empty life. I want it to be full life. I want it to be meaningful life. I want it to be a challenge in life. I want it to be something that causes the person I've created to rise to a level of something grand that is like your dad, that there's something, oh, something about life that you're living, and you're living it on purpose. Really quick, number 8, God's not through with you yet. All right? God's not through with you yet. Say that with me. Say, God's not through with me yet. Now, I want everybody, as soon as you finish writing, I want you to look at me. Because I want to look in your eyes when I say this. One of the biggest lies the enemy sells people is somehow they fell off the train. Somehow they have not been good enough. Somehow they've done something too bad. Somehow their journey has, they've been abandoned, this purpose of God that God has for them. Now they can't fulfill that purpose. They're too old. There's something that causes you to disqualify yourself. And I've got a word for you. And that word is, that is a lie. I'm telling you, you think you've fallen off the train? Well, God can put stuff back on trains. I'm telling you, you think you fall off and it's been too bad for you? I'm telling you, he backed off. He saw it before time began. And he already worked his purpose through what you've done. And he wants to pick you up again and say, you can still accomplish my purpose because I worked it all out ahead of time. I didn't get surprised when you messed up. It didn't surprise me. I mean, you think you pull something and God said, oh, I didn't know about it. I didn't see that coming. No, no. He takes a man who committed adultery and then decided to kill the husband. Makes him one of the greatest kings ever was. Takes a guy in the New Testament that just would be around and just persecuted good people. Made him, just turned him into an apostle we call Paul. You think you've done something disqualifies you, friend? No. No way. No way. No way. No way. No way. Let me ask you a question, profound question, and we're going, but I got just a couple more. Profound question. Are you still breathing?
Yes.
That means you got purpose. That means there's life left for you. Look at Job with me, 14. Man's days are determined by God. And God, this God, decreed the number of months and set the limits. And I got news for you. You're not going to exceed them. Your days is already wrapped up in God's hand. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, that just, no. You think you decide? That's in God's hands. Anybody here other than me ever thought about the last day you have on the planet? Wonder what day that's going to be? A Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Maybe a Saturday or Sunday. I wish not Sunday morning, 11 o'clock. Anybody ever think about that or is that just me? Nobody else? Well, Mike, you're not scared of dying? So far, no. What you've done and your failings, your purpose in life, still can happen. All right. I'm just going to close this and just go. Let's go to the next one. Here we go. Number 9. Where you are is not where you're going to be. I mean, where you are, how many of you are moving? How many of you think God's got more for you? Yes or no? Yes. All right. And so it's important this lands on you, because what can seem like a stuck place can be a place where God's still moving, but it's too slow for you. And it doesn't seem like much movement's happened. Anybody, I remember riding in the back of a car from Conway to Myrtle Beach, 14 miles. And as a kid, I'd lay down in the back seat and I'd watch the light poles as they go by. And it seemed like that was a 1,000-mile journey. 14 miles. Too slow. So friends, I got news for you. I mean, God's got more for you, and the fact we're moving there. Now let me end up with the last one for you. I want you to write all these down with the scriptures. You have an enemy. Number number 10. You have an enemy. And what your enemy does is he tries his best to create doubt. He tries to get you either on your side to choose something else or get someplace where you're not happy. He has so much of this life and purpose for us. But he lies to you. And he says, not you. And so this enemy who came to Jesus and tempted him will come and he'll tempt you. Now let me tell you as we end, just a tad bit about counseling. What I think counseling does is counseling slows things down enough until people can hear and listen and then figure out what's not working well, and then they can make some choices. What happens oftentimes is we live so fast until we don't slow things down long enough to really hear what we are thinking. And what the enemy does is he fills our heads full of stuff that lies to us. And we think it's normal. We think it's just life. And the truth of the matter is, it's not. And so that's why I wanted you to have these points, because when he comes to you and he lies to you this week, I want you to pull this card out and say, I don't think so today. No way. No way. I am staying on target, on purpose. All right, here we go. So, ladies and gentlemen, your life matters. It does. All right. Thank you. All right, we're going to receive our offering and then we're going to be out of here. And so, but here's what I like to do. I want to sing that song again, How Great Thou Art. What about you? Can we sing it one more time before we go? So let me pray over you and let's worship together. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we receive our offering, I pray you bless your people as they give. Thank you for your word. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for your grace over our life. Thank you that we don't live life meaningless, that we just don't go through life existing. Thank you that our life has a quality about it, something about it that is off of a real grandeur, that we have come from you, God. And you're our source and you're our hope. And so we just thank you for the privilege of giving now. We do so in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship together.